Chapter 10. There were quiet murmurs as John Zeitman made his way up onto the stage, but this only lasted for a moment. Once the crowd realized who they were looking at, they erupted into cheers, gasps, and hoots. Zeitman awkwardly waved to his adoring fans as he ambled over to Todd, motioned for the microphone, and then snatched it away from the imp in disguise.
"I wanted this to be a surprise," Zeitman sighed. "I wasn't even listed on the program because, as you know, the man is after me right now. They think I'm getting too close to the truth, so they've started to send BPI agents out to follow me home."
"Oh, the BPI again?" I rolled my eyes and whispered to Oliver. "Even if that were a real thing, which it's not, there's no way in hell they'd waste their time going after Zeitman with all the other crazy shit going on right now."
"Unfortunately, the wonderful Todd here spoiled the surprise."
John slumped his shoulders as he shot the disguised imp a glare.
"It's funny. The last time I met this guy, I could have sworn he was a 3-foot-tall red-skinned imp. Now it looks like he's missing his talking Great Dane."
The crowd erupted into laughter, but Todd simply scoffed at the accusation.
"And the last time I saw you,"
Todd snickered and shot Zeitman finger guns,
"you were a wage slave to a bunch of rich capitalists in the most evil city in the world. Totally steady gig. Probably was making you a ton on tips alone. So, in short, you're welcome."
"Oh, please,"
Zeitman scoffed.
"I didn't get into this line of work for the money. I got into it for the truth. Now, just an FYI, I'll be in the back corner signing autographs on my book for the next hour or two, all for the low cost of $40. Stick it to the man, my brothers."
The crowd cheered once more, and all I could do was shake my head as Zeitman stomped off the stage and then walked back out into the crowd. What the fuck? He was right there next to Todd, and he didn't say a single word about me or my cult at all? I would have figured Zeitman would jump at the chance to meet me so he could confirm his first-hand account, the one that had been getting him called a loon for the last 4 years. Yet he brushed off Todd as if he were just another peer. I raised an eyebrow to the imp on the stage, but he just shrugged and gave me a confused look. Meanwhile, the entire crowd of convention-goers followed Zeitman back across the exhibit hall, all the way back to his autograph booth. What the fuck was that? I pondered aloud. He was way too calm for meeting the people who changed his life.
"Yeah, I know, bro,"
Todd agreed as he hopped off the stage.
"Oh, something ain't right about Z-Man, but I can't quite put my finger on it."
"Well, no matter what the issue is, we need to get back there so I can talk to him one-on-one." So the team followed the massive throng of paranormal enthusiasts back to where they were now clumped together like lemmings.
"Maybe he's just moved on?"
Cupy suggested.
"It seems like he's more interested in the apocalypse now, so perhaps he's got a new focus."
That's when we saw the banner. Right as Zeitman sat down behind his autograph booth, a large white banner rose behind him. It had the picture of his newest book right next to large letters reading, "Zeitman's Signature, $40. With a small disclaimer underneath that read, "Pictures, an extra 20. However, it was the cover of his book that made my jaw drop. It was a photograph of the burning Excalibur in Vegas, and just right of center, there was a red circle with a zoomed-in image on an unidentified object in the sky. Of course, I knew better. It was a picture of me carrying my unconscious friends to safety in the aftermath of our battle with Galu. Thankfully, even with the blown-up cover, we only appeared as blurry figures against the sprawling white cathedral that was the luxury hotel. At the top of the cover sat the words, "Uncovering the Excalibur Incident, Part 4, The Man with the Flames."
Oh, I definitely don't think he's moved on, I whistled. Whew, like at all.
The crowd around Zeitman was packed into the corner like sardines, and I could only slowly push forward as the paranormal expert signed autographs and chatted with his adoring fans. Finally, after much effort, I came face to face with the man. His head quirked to the side when he saw me, but he retained a somewhat blank expression.
Autograph a photo? He asked with a fake smile.
Mr. Zeitman, it's me, I explained. Jacob Ralston.
The guy you saw at the Excalibur?
Suddenly the man's expression changed into a frown, and he dropped the pen from his hand.
Hey, it is you.
He gasped and then began to shake.
Look, John.
I tried to ease his nerves. I just want to talk to you about... Before I could finish my sentence, Zeitman sprang to his feet, grabbed the edge of the table, and flipped it forcefully. I leapt backward as the plastic tabletop smashed into the floor and bounced a few inches, and then I looked up as Zeitman took off running in the opposite direction. Even though he'd been walking at a snail's pace before, the paranormal expert was now dashing across the room with the speed of an Olympic sprinter. I briefly considered using my hellfire powers against the fleeing target, but I didn't want to draw any more attention to us than we already had. Then I remembered, humans couldn't see the magic of green flames. That may have just been my ticket to catching this guy. So I summoned green hellfire into my hands, took aim at Zeitman, and then conjured up a large portal straight in front of his trajectory. Much to my surprise, the man simply sidestepped the obstacle and continued to run.
How did he know it was there?
Libidine gasped. I don't know, but something funky's going on here. Come on, after him! All of us bolted toward Zeitman, but he was already through the main doors by the time it took us to get halfway across the room. When we finally exited the exhibit hall, I frantically scanned our surroundings for the runner. There. He was all the way down the long stretch of carpeted hallway as he headed toward the parking garage exit. Thankfully, I saw another familiar face appear through the elevator right next to the exit. Raphael. Raph! I called out and pointed at Zeitman. We got a runner! The Archangel locked eyes with the fleeing man and then charged at him like a bull. However, Zeitman was too fast. The paranormal expert saw Raphael coming, and in one swift motion he bent down, propelled himself into the air, and flipped over the Archangel. Raphael's eyes went wide as he crashed into a large potted plant and sent clay shards flying across the floor.
What the fuck?
Cupie gasped.
How is that humanly possible?
If I try to move like that, Oliver noted, I think my spine would snap right in two.
Then it hit me. The fact he could see my telekinetic flames, the superhuman speed and agility. It's not humanly possible. I growled as I continued the chase. Because he's not human. In the distance, I saw Zeitman disappear through the door and out into the parking garage of the convention center.
I tried to catch him.
Raphael panted as he jumped back to his feet and joined our hunting party.
He's much more slippery than he looks.
After where you just were, bro, I bet you know all about slipperiness. I bet that fist floor was Lube City, huh?
I'd prefer not to talk about it.
The Archangel shuddered.
I was asked to do things that would violate every single one of my sacred oaths.
The nine of us pushed through the doorway and out into the old, darkly lit parking garage of the convention center. Zeitman was nowhere to be seen, but there were only two paths he could have possibly taken.
Todd and the Succubi, come with me, I commanded. We'll take the upstairs. You guys see if he went down.
Right away, Jacob,
Oliver called out, and then he dashed down the ramp with Raphael and Jane right behind him. The rest of us followed the pathway that led upward until we reached the third floor of the garage. When there was still no sign of Zeitman, we continued onward, up to the fourth and final level of the building.
The top level of the parking garage was open air, so we were wrapped up in the warm, wet blanket of humidity the second we arrived. However, all was not lost. There, standing in the corner next to a cluster of garbage bins, was John Zeitman. Now that we weren't surrounded by a million people, I didn't hold back. I tossed up a cube of purple hellfire around his body, lifted him up into the air, and dashed over to his position. "Who are you?" I demanded. "What are you?" "Certainly not human, that's for sure."
"Why, whatever do you mean?"
The dark-haired man grinned smugly.
"I'm just John Zeitman, paranormal celebrity. I don't know why you decided to attack me."
"Ah, yeah," Todd joked. "And I have a tiny penis, bro."
"Yeah, that one totally doesn't work, Todd," I admitted to the imp, and then I closed the cube a few inches around Zeitman.
"Have you been a demon this whole time?"
Cupy asked as she approached.
"No way,"
Libidine protested.
"If he was, he wouldn't be milking his 15 minutes of fame for this long. That's a total human move to make."
"It doesn't matter who I am."
The man in the box shook his head.
"What matters is your plan," Todd shot back in a raspy Scottish accent.
Yeah?
Zeitman said, completely confused.
The plan, right.
"You better start talking," I threatened, "because the world surely won't suffer from having one less paranoid weirdo around."
"Oh, but I'm not paranoid,"
Zeitman shrugged.
"If anything, you guys are giving me more evidence."
"Well, dead men can't talk, so you'd better start spilling the beans while you're alive." Zeitman rolled his eyes.
"Oh, of course you'd say something like that,"
he chuckled.
"Just like your father."
I tightened the cube around him once more, until his knees were pushed up to his stomach.
"What about him?"
I growled. "How the fuck do you know about my father?"
"All will be revealed in due time, Jacob,"
Zeitman sneered.
"Well, not to you. You'll be dead."
Suddenly, a dark red hellfire, almost maroon in color, flashed into Zeitman's hands. Then he snapped his fingers, and as he did so, the trash cans next to him lit up with the same mystic glow.
"A metamorphosis spell,"
Cupy gasped.
"But on the trash cans? What could possibly—"
The trash cans began to vibrate as a series of scuttling noises filled the air.
"Ah, fuck."
Eclipse groaned as realization set in. Then the plastic edges of the trash cans began to bend and crack against the weight of whatever was inside them until finally they shattered into a million pieces and sent foul-smelling trash across the parking garage. I just barely held down my lunch when I got a waft of the stench, and then again when I saw what had popped out of the garbage. In front of us hovered 20 palmetto bugs, and they had now grown to the size of fucking St. Bernard dogs.
"Oh, hell no!"
Todd screamed as he began to unleash blasts of red hellfire at the monstrosities. The creatures scuttled out of the way of the attack before they regrouped around the trash can.
Then it happened, the thing that everybody fears the most when they see a cockroach. The fucking things spread their wings and began to fly toward us.
Todd let out a girlish scream as he covered his face with one arm and began to throw fireballs like a pitching machine with the other. One of the giant roaches shot straight toward me with its mouth at the ready. Zeitman's spell must have changed these things' anatomy as well, because this roach had a row of razor-sharp teeth along with a prehensile tongue that came out to a deadly point. Nasty green saliva dripped from its mouth as it charged me, but I was more than ready. I pulled out the Sword of Saints, spun to the side, and then brought it down vertically on the monster. The oversized roach let out a gurgled wail as its head was separated from its body, and then it collapsed lifelessly to the ground. The second it was out of commission, it shrank back down to its original size, and I stomped on the tiny bug to finish it off. Oh, you could never be too careful. Meanwhile, the rest of my friends were already in action. Deja's spear was darting around while Libidine hurled yellow darts at the monsters. At the same time, Eclipse and Cupie were slashing at the roaches with their mid-range weapons, coupled with the occasional blast of hellfire. Even then, these things were fucking fast. They might not have been the brightest enemy we'd ever faced, but they weren't going down as easily as I'd hoped.
Oh, maybe they just want sugar and water, bro!
Todd shrieked as he dove out of the way of an incoming bug and then retaliated with a blast of red flames. The imp's attack hit its mark, and the cockroach screamed as it burst into flames, rolled over onto its back, and flailed. I spun back around just in time to see two more of the monstrosities heading straight for me. I tried to parry with my blade, but all I could do was hold on tight as their heads slammed into me and knocked me to the ground. Their teeth gnashed at my body, but thankfully my Calignian armor held up. However, the blow caused me to release my purple spell, and Zeitman dropped to the ground.
No, don't! Don't let him get away!
I called out to my friends as I blocked the incoming teeth with my armored arm. I summoned red flames into my left hand, silver fire into my other, and then combined them as I commanded the metal ball at my side to liquefy. Next, I ordered it to stretch out into a long, thin strip, and then I commanded that strip to wrap around both roaches' bodies. The searing, red-hot metal hit their exoskeletons and then burned through them like a hot knife through butter. Green liquid oozed out onto the ground as the metal passed through their bodies, and they squirmed for a few seconds more before their bodies went limp. They returned to their original size. I smashed them, and then I looked around for Zeitman. Surprisingly, the paranormal expert hadn't fled. Instead, he was standing near the far wall of the garage, and he used his maroon flame to command his newly made puppets. Cupidita summoned forth her wings, took to the sky, and skewered two more of the creatures with her pole arm. Then she clicked the button on her weapon's shaft, which turned her single point into a three-pronged blade. As it opened, it tore through the flesh of the roach and sliced it in half. Cupie then spun around, blasted the chunks of dead roach with blue hellfire, and shattered them with a quick strike from the blunt end of the pole arm.
Oh, fucking scuddly punk-ass beings of pure nope incarnate!
Todd continued to panic as he tossed out covering fire and then ran to safety behind a bunch of parked cars. Oh, the parked cars. Those could definitely help. I summoned green hellfire into my hands, surrounded an SUV and a muscle car with the spell's glow, and raised them up into the air. Then I ordered the vehicles to surround one of the roaches, slammed them together, and heard a wet crunch as the monster was pulverized. Just then, a blast of divine light shot down from the sky and turned another roach into ashes. I looked up to see Raphael with Jane on his back and Oliver dangling like a baby kitten from his left hand. The Archangel blasted at the swarming roaches as he descended, and then he released his passengers the second his feet were on solid ground.
"We heard the commotion,"
Raph explained as he drew a bowie knife from underneath his robe. Then he let out a grunt as he stabbed the knife straight between one of the roach's eyes and watched it go limp. Jane and Oliver joined the fray as well, and they sent blasts of all different colored hellfire at the flying creatures.
"Behind you, Jacob!"
Deja called out from across the way. I ducked down just in time to see a butterfly knife shoot past where my neck had just been. Then I turned, lashed out with my foot, and kicked Zeitman straight in the gut. The man let out an oomph of pain as he stumbled backward, but I wasn't done with him yet. I smashed another roach with the two cars before I tossed them back in their spots, turned back to Zeitman, and summoned silver flames into my hand. He was coming at me with another butterfly knife, but he didn't stand a fucking chance. I commanded the metal ball on my belt to liquefy, turn into a metal lasso, and then wrap around my opponent's legs. Zeitman's eyes went wide as he was tripped up by the spell, and then his face slammed into the ground with bone-shattering force. Blood oozed from his nostrils as his body went limp, but his shallow breaths told me he was still alive. Then he started to change. Maroon hellfire surrounded Zeitman's body, and then it began to contort and shrink, similar to how Todd's form did when he changed. Zeitman continued to transfigure until I was staring at a 5-foot-tall, lanky demon with a crooked nose and tiny, beady eyes. "Dolo?" I gasped at the unconscious figure. It was fucking Dolo, Lucifer's right-hand demon. I'd been told this guy only appeared when he was delivering a direct message from his master. Well, this message was loud and clear. I heard the disgusting flutter of wings behind me, so I spun around and lashed out with the Sword of Saints. I held the blade straight up vertically and ducked down, and then watched as the roach disemboweled itself with its own momentum. Its guts splashed out onto the concrete floor with a hiss, and then it crumpled to the ground, dead. There were only 4 more of the creatures left, and my friend seemed to have the situation under control. Eclipse flipped up into the air, landed atop one of the flying beasts, and then lopped off its head with the blade of her naginata. She gracefully cartwheeled off the falling monster, landed on another one, and her momentum pushed it straight down into one of Libidine's sprays of yellow darts. The golden daggers turned the roach's head into a pincushion, and it fell out of the sky unceremoniously.
"Bro!"
Todd called out from the other side of the garage. I looked over to see the humanized imp cowering under a large truck as an oversized cockroach lashed out at him from above with its pointed antenna. "Todd!" I called back. "What I always tell you when we were roommates."
"Oh, that I need to stop touching it all the time?"
the imp retorted with a twinge of confusion.
"Exactly,"
I confirmed.
"So stop touching it."
The imp must have gotten my meaning, because he flattened his body against the ground and took care to make sure none of his appendages touched the metal of the vehicle. Then I summoned red and silver hellfire into my hands, tossed them both around the vehicle, and commanded its metal to rise up and engulf the roach. The creature shrieked in panic and agony as it was encapsulated by the molten metal, and then its screams went silent as it was literally burned to death inside of an aluminum prison. I turned back around to see the final bug fall, taken down by Deja's spear.
"Whew! Oh, thanks, Jakey,"
Todd whistled as he walked back over to me.
"Oh, you know how much I fucking hate bugs."
"I remember. It was the only thing that motivated you to clean the apartment."
"Oh, fuck yeah, it did."
The imp in disguise shuddered.
"I don't know about you, but I didn't want to live in a roach motel."
"Is that Dolo?"
Cupie gasped as the rest of the team approached the fallen demon.
"Who's that?"
Jane questioned.
"Another demon who was hiding on Earth?"
"Oh, we haven't done those sorts of adventures in forever,"
Todd reminded the cultist.
"Get with the program. Sheesh."
"It's Lucifer's right-hand demon,"
Libidine explained.
"Which means..."
"He's working directly under the Morning Star's orders,"
Raphael finished.
"So wait, this doesn't make any sense."
I shook my head. "There's no way John Zeitman's been a demon this whole time. Things just don't add up."
"Why don't we ask him ourselves?"
Libidine suggested.
"I can be quite persuasive, if you remember. First, we've got to wake him up."
Cupie smiled as she summoned blue hellfire into her hands.
"A little magic ice bath should do the trick."
I commanded the metal lasso to lift Dolo up into the air, and then Cupie hit him with a weak blast of blue. His eyes instantly shot open as he cried out, and he began to shiver from the frigid spell.
"Start talking, Dolo,"
I demanded as I held the Sword of Saints up to his throat. "Why did my father send you here?
Has this whole thing with John Zeitman been a setup?
Oh, I'd tell you to go to hell, Dolo sneered. But apparently it's where you flourish.
Let's try that again,
Libidine noted as she bent down so that she was at eye level with the demon. The Sister of Lust's eyes began to glow a deep violet as she stared Dolo down, and then finally the lanky servant's body tensed up as he fell into a trance.
I'll ask again, I sighed. Why did Lucifer send you here? To trap you,
Dolo muttered robotically.
He knew you'd go looking for Zeitman to try and stop the apocalypse, and he couldn't let that happen. I was supposed to pretend to be this guy, lure you out here, and then kill you myself.
Well, that obviously didn't work, I taunted. Was Chort in on this? He was the one who told us Zeitman was going to be here.
Lucifer would never enlist the help of a third-rate demon like Chort,
Dolo explained.
What he told you was accurate.
Then where is the real Zeitman? I asked as my heart fell into my stomach. Did you kill him?
That would be counterproductive, wouldn't it? Dolo snarked through his trance. Lucifer, killing his own harbinger. No, John Zeitman is still alive, and here, in this very city. He's tied up in his room at the Super 8, a few miles from here.
We still had a chance. John Zeitman was still alive and still within our reach. Who knows? Maybe if we went there in freedom, the guy would be more willing to listen to us about the whole apocalypse thing.
But first, we had to deal with Dolo.
What should we do with him? I pondered aloud.
I know,
Eclipse suggested with a savage grin.
We could tear him limb from limb and then feed him to these fucking roaches.
Nah, too painless, Todd scoffed. And by that, I mean the pain would be over too quickly.
Oh, well, why don't we take him back to your castle and let Ira have a go at him?
Oliver suggested.
She's surely thinking up new ways to torture our enemies.
Why do we have to kill him at all? Raphael spoke up. Not that I truly care what happens to an evil demon, but must we always be so quick to resort to violence?
This is why you sucked at GTA, Raffy,
Todd sighed.
No killer instinct.
I wanted to obey the laws of traffic, Todd,
Raph shot back.
If that meant the other gang members were able to catch up to my character and kill him, then that's the price I pay for being a good citizen.
Lame,
the imp chuckled.
I think Raphael's right, you know,
Cupie suggested.
We shouldn't kill him. I think we should send a message of our own back to Lucifer, using his own messenger.
I liked where she was going with this. In fact, I was already two steps ahead of her. I called Silver Hellfire into my hands, commanded the lasso to come back to me, and then formed my warhammer. Dolo, now free from Libby's trance, hit the ground with a violent crash and then attempted to flee. However, my friends were much too quick. Eclipse and Libidine both grabbed the demon by the shoulders, pinned him down, and then held him in place. Dolo's eyes got as big as saucers when he saw my warhammer, and he began to plead for his life.
Don't kill me, he begged. I can give you anything you want. Just ask your father.
I don't want anything from you, Dolo.
I growled, but then I changed my tone. No, actually, scratch that. I do want something from you. I want you to tell my father that we have better things to do than fuck around with his demon boy toys. If he sends you or any of his other bastard servants after us, we'll kill them. Or worse.
Oh, worse?
Dolo asked, but then his face turned into a look of instant regret.
Worse,
I confirmed as I raised the warhammer over my head.
Please, down!
I brought the flat end of the weapon down on Dolo's right kneecap and heard a wet crunch as it shattered underneath the warhammer's weight. Dolo let out a shriek of pain, but I wasn't done yet. I raised the hammer above my head once more and then slammed it into his left knee. This time I just barely missed the cap. Instead, I struck his femur with the full force of my blow, and Dolo's leg twisted awkwardly to the side as the bone inside snapped in half. Finally, I stepped away from the demon, and I was satisfied with my work.
You're fucking crazy!
Dolo howled in agony.
I told Lucifer, fucking that girl was a bad idea. You're almost as bad as him.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. I shrugged. Now, run back to my father and let him know about our little chat here today. Dolo nodded and then turned around and dragged himself away toward a nearby vehicle. We watched as he climbed up inside, started it up, and then drove down the ramp toward the exit.
How the fuck is he even driving, bro?
Todd asked curiously.
He ain't got no usable legs.
Well, he's a demon, Todd. It's probably some hand-wavy magic thing. I returned the warhammer into the metal ball, placed it back on my belt, and then picked up the Sword of Saints. Once all my weapons were back in place, I headed back down the ramp, back toward our vehicle.
"Where are you going, Jacob?"
Raphael questioned. "To Shadow," I explained over my shoulder. "We still need to have a chat with John Zeitman." Hopefully, our chat with the paranormal celebrity would go better the second time around.